Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we discuss the upcoming sequel to the sci-fi film Prometheus, some changes that are going to affect the new NFL season, we look at some new music from the Black Keys and Wolf Mother, and trailer talk, we talk about the newest trailer for X-Men Days of Future Past. Joining me on this week's episode is two mutants who were kicked out of the X-Men, Lucas Jones.
Hey.
And Ryan DeMarco.
Mashy bah.
Also joining me is my cousin Christian, who is underage and won't be drinking the beer, but he'll, we'll let him smell it.
I will enjoy news over O'Doul's this week.
Perfect.
Peer pressure. He'll drink the beer.
So, speaking of beer, Lucas, what are we drinking this week?
Well, this week we're drinking another beer from Duclos. It's called Hell on Wood. Now, as regular listeners of the show, you'll know the first beer that we tried of Duclos we weren't fond of, but that every single beer we've had since then has been completely fantastic. They are slowly becoming known around the news over brews various households as a brewing company that's not afraid to try something cool or something interesting when the mood strikes. So this week we did something called Hell on Wood. Comes in at 66 IBUs and a 10.6 alcohol by volume. So again, you're going to want to watch out while drinking this one. It comes off with a slightly sour and woody scent, so something that's reminiscent of a sour beer, which is a scent you sometimes get for high alcohol barley wines or big American ales. You're going to get a lot of fruit flavors, your standard cloves and apricots. A small amount of, I think, cherry, although I'm not still quite sure on that. I'm just going to have to go back and buy another six-pack.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
That's going to be terrible. But you definitely get robust vanilla and oak notes that linger on the tongue. And it kind of reminds me of a good scotch, like a good full-bodied scotch, like a Lagavulin 16, which is my favorite scotch. I think I just took Ryan's talking point.
It was good.
It poured with an amber color and very little head. Another characteristic of big American ale. So, Ryan, I'm sorry I took your talking point, but as a fellow Scotch lover, I'm sure you can shed some more light on what's going on here.
There's no other light for me to shed. You stole everything I was about to say.
Thanks, Paste. Al, what about you?
You can definitely, I don't know if you mentioned already, but it's like a barley wine that's soaked in
oak barrels,
yeah, and you can definitely taste that woody oak taste along with the honey. It wasn't hard to drink, you could sip it, you could take big gulps, but honestly it was really, really good. And especially something that's 10.6 ABVs and it's a six pack, I mean, that's pretty good. It's a good value right there.
And don't let the 66 IBU, which is normally a pretty high amount of bitterness in a beer, fool you. Because of the high alcohol, you're getting a lot of fermentable sugars, and so you're getting a lot of malt. And that's where your fruit flavors are coming from. But that kind of hides the ABV. We didn't really get a lot of burn. I mean, you want a little bit. That's one of the characteristics of a big ale or a big barley wine. So you want a little bit of a burn, but nothing that makes the beer undrinkable. So, if you're not a fan of bitter beers, don't be afraid to pick this one up, because in my opinion, it's probably closer to like a Belgian triple in terms of flavor profile, more on the malty side, the sweet side, than on the bitter side.
Now, what would you pair this with? Say you wanted to cook some food and...
O'Doul.
Well, everything pairs with O'Doul's. I would pair this with, if you're lucky enough to own a smoker, smoke some meat. And drink this beer. If you, like most of us, do not own a smoker, go to your local meat market, food store that also sells meat products.
Food and stuff.
Buy some smoked sausage, some summer sausage, some Italian supersod, smoky cheese also works well. If you want a sweeter meat, go for some smoky cheese. Something to complement the natural woodiness of the beer. Any kind of red meat would probably go with this as well, or a dry rubbed pork. Again, you want to stay away from overall sweetness because of the maltiness of the beer and go for something a little more smoky. in terms of your food.
So not a pile of Wendy's cheeseburgers.
I would probably not eat it with a pile of Wendy's cheeseburgers, although we did.
We did.
There's really no flavor to a Wendy's cheeseburger, so no. It's like it's not really something to compliment. I would probably pair this with like a real cheeseburger.
Ooh.
You know, a cheeseburger perhaps made with a little bit of a chocolate stout, topped with some smoked Gouda and sautéed onions, perhaps.
Sounds delicious. I'm getting hungry again.
We should go get some Wendy's.
Yeah, we should go.
Chick-fil-A, Ron?
Let's no Wendy's. But thank you, as always, Lucas, for that excellent review.
You're welcome. And I promise next week we're going to try to not review something that's like a monstrous beer.
Or something that you can actually get at your liquor store.
Yeah, something
because
DeKalb like,
is kind of local.
It's in
Baltimore, right?
Not that it's local, but you know, I keep track of all of our beers, and we've been doing a huge number of really big beers, which for the average consumer is not if you're like a Miller Lite, Bud Light drinker, nothing wrong with those beers, but if that's your normal go-to beer, the first craft beer you're going to try is not going to be an oak-aged barley wine. So we'll try to tone it down and find some more entry-level beers for those of you who are a bit timid to wade into the pool of craft beer that's out there, because it's a big pool.
No, let's just do more Crumbly stuff.
I can recommend O'Doul's.
Is O'Doul sponsoring you?
Can I just say one quick thing about...
There are a lot of complex notes in O'Doul's. It just tastes like fermented regret.
Actually, the interesting thing about O'Doul's, before we move into news, there is alcohol in O'Doul's. You have to drink anywhere from 47 to 60 bottles of O'Doul's to raise your blood alcohol level.
Almost there.
He's almost there. Moving into movie news, we're going to be talking about a very controversial sequel. Not controversial in the sense that people are against it. It's just that the movie made a lot of money, yet it really wasn't critically acclaimed in the sense. So the movie we're talking about is the sci-fi film that came out in 2012's Prometheus, which was a sort of prequel to Ridley Scott's Alien. So, Rye, why don't you give us a little background on the first Prometheus?
It takes place pretty much in the same universe as the Alien saga, as you explained. Basically, if I stand here and tell you the entire summary of the movie, we'll be here forever, but the gist of it is it takes place near the end of the 21st century. It's a group of explorers. They find clues that kind of direct them on this journey to find the answer to where humanity came from and all these kind of questions that human beings have been asking themselves for thousands of years. So naturally, got a lot of attention. So it sent them on this journey millions of miles away from Earth, and what turns from a mission of discovery turns into survival and danger to the crew.
It's like a sci-fi horror movie, you know,
same
vein as his first movie that made him huge, pretty much.
Yeah.
I would say this one, though, is less of a horror movie than Alien was. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a lot more plot-driven.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's a very slow build-up. Definitely, you know, some great character-driven performances from, like, Naomi Rapace, or is it Rapace? You say her name, because I can't
Naomi
say
Naomi.
And, of course, Michael Fassbender, who completely carried that movie.
I think he should just be in every movie,
I mean,
and then it'd be better.
Honestly, if him and The Rock
started
every movie.
Let's name
movie,
some movies that
I mean,
had Michael Fassbender
days
in them that weren't good. Can you think of any? Because
I can't.
No, I can't. Warriors of Slave is really good.
I think
he was in that. It was really good.
I know.
Anyway, about Prometheus.
Oh, yeah. Prometheus.
Yeah,
so
good.
They just announced that they're going to make a sequel for Prometheus, and they've already hired a writer.
Yeah, his name would be Michael Green. For those of you who are unfamiliar with his name, it's probably because he wrote Green Lantern.
Great.
However, hiring a writer is a bold move. I like what they're doing with it.
First of all, I liked Green Lantern, so you guys can back off that movie.
Okay, take away the mic. You're done.
Lucas, you will get that back at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
Now, you guys have both seen it. Lucas, you can keep playing Pokemon. Ryan and Christian. I'll start with Ryan first. You've seen the first one. What did you think of the first movie, and does it deserve a sequel?
Well, first movie was flawed. Had a lot of ups and downs. The cinematography was fantastic. Characters were stupid. the direction was a little slow.
So dumb.
Yeah, they had a slow build up as expected. However, the end had some promise to it. So I'm thinking the second movie, give it a second one, give it a chance to redeem itself. I think the second one's going to be totally different than the first one, though. You know, I don't think with the way they left off the first one, the second one's going to, I think it's going to be kind of more in the vein of the Alien franchise. But as my anticipation list, this is not on the top, but I will see it. And yes, as I said, it gives it a shot to redeem itself.
Christian, what about you?
I would agree with Ryan in that visually, the movie is Prometheus. It was a beautiful movie to look at. The plot, not quite as much. I don't really know how they could follow through and maintain the sort of typical Alien plot line, and where it's kind of a horror movie, because this Prometheus wasn't really. And if you look at where they're going to go with the next one, which is, you know, looking for the origins of man and stuff like that, and who first started the universe and all that jazz, I don't really know how much of the horror aspect they could really incorporate. But, I mean, I'm sure if they include more Michael Fassbender, how could they go wrong?
That's true. I have to agree with Ryan when he said that some of the characters were really dumb. Not dumb in the sense like they didn't need those characters. The characters they weren't intelligent,
they had no
and they
brains.
Were like and they were doctors and scientists
being
and stuff.
Sent to one of the first outposts where they found they were looking at the origins of man, and hey,
just their actions.
They sent really stupid people.
Yeah. Yeah. So the movie's supposed to be coming out in 2016. It's not at the top of my I can't wait for list.
I think it's towards the middle of my maybe I'll see it list, especially
yeah.
if it's written by.
Yeah,
the guy
I mean,
who
unless unless
I just
unless they
off
announce that like Russell Crowe is gonna reprise his role from Gladiator and be in it, but that's highly unlikely.
I mean, those two universes are
pretty linked
closely
together.
Connected. Yeah.
So,
written
here's hoping. Here's hoping that.
It's all right. Go back to your Pokemon.
Okay.
both directed by Ridley Scott.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah. So,
it was a joke.
It was a joke. But yeah, so look out for Prometheus 2 sometime in 2016, and hopefully it's better than the first one.
Wise words.
Yes, thank you. Segwaying into television news and a topic that's rarely discussed on News Over Brews, sports. Lucas, fill us in on what's happening with the NFL.
Well, right now, Al, the NFL is in something called the offseason. So they're running in various directions, lifting various heavy things up and down, and generally getting ready to sport when the weather gets a little bit colder. But in all seriousness, you guys were supposed to laugh at that.
Oh, that's not happening. That's not going to happen.
Aha!
So the NFL is looking to expand their presence throughout the week. As you know, NFL is traditionally shown on Sundays, with it slowly creeping onto Thursday and Saturday.
That wasn't the joke.
Oh.
And so now what they're trying to do is they're trying to show more games on Thursday and Saturday and also have the occasional Friday game. So they're looking to expand football to 4 days a week. They're also giving CBS exclusive rights to broadcast a larger chunk of the games. So really what they're trying to do is they're trying to take the NFL from a 1 day a week to a 4 day a week. And Mark Cuban has commented on this in the way that Mark Cuban often comments on a lot of things.
Negatively and very opinionated!
He came out with a statement saying that the NFL is going to implode in 10 years. And the reason that he said that is because the NFL is
he owns an NBA team.
Right. So he thinks the NFL is getting greedy and they're overdoing their brand. He's saying the key to the NFL's success was that it was a big thing once a week that everyone could get together, sit down, and just watch all the games. You know, you start at 1 with the 1 o'clock game and you go all the way to the primetime game at 8. And what he's saying is that the hardcore fans will watch. But the general American public, the kind that, you know, oh, I don't mind if I come to the bar with you to watch the game because it's fun and there's people, they're going to be turned off by football 4 days a week. I think there's some legitimacy to his comments, especially considering how big of an event the Super Bowl is. So many people who are not football fans will go to Super Bowl parties just to be a part of the atmosphere of the game. And it's those people that the NFL counts on for their success. The hardcore fans will always be there. It's the general public that has a passing interest that watches the games, that buys some of the merchandise. That's the kind of revenue stream that's making them one of the most profitable sports in the industry right now. So Al, you're a huge football fan.
Yes.
But Ryan and Christian, I don't know, you guys not so much huge fans? Are you kind of marginal fans?
Oh, I'm a Jets fan, so.
So he's barely not, he's barely even a football fan.
You're not really a football fan. Christian?
No.
I'm a Jets fan by birth, but I don't know any of the players because they all left.
You watch
your
mouth.
They're all awful.
Yes.
So we have a nice little cross-section here. So, Al, how does football moving to 4 days a week affect your view of the sport?
Well, it's tough. I mean, as an adult who likes going to the bar, it's going to give me more. It's going to give me more of a reason to go, because there's going to be something on TV. Because usually we go and like, oh, you know, baseball's on or basketball or you know college, and I'm like, yeah, it's really not interesting to me. But with football, I can watch that. I'm very excited about it. But on the other hand, I mean, I'm that average person who doesn't catch every game. So why am I going to tune in on a Thursday or Friday or Saturday when I'm working? When I'm working, and then you know, on Sundays is when I used to watch football, watching my dad. You know, like from 1 to 8 at night. So I'm that guy that is only watching it on Sundays, or maybe the Monday game if the Giants are playing, because I'm a Giants fan, a real football team. Not this year, but that's besides the point. So I don't know. It's a toss up for me. Christian, what about you?
As a young man, it is frowned upon that I go to bars and socialize with the people who are at bars.
Correct.
Therefore, if I were to watch football, it would be in the comfort of my own home. And I feel that with the football moving to Thursdays, it's definitely going to infringe on some other programs they're having. Isn't it? It's CBS, correct?
Yeah, so that's
so then they're going to have to move Big Bang Theory.
Which is their...
Which is, in my opinion, a humongous mistake. Because that is their cash cow.
It's not only their cash cow, but it's the most watched show on television.
Yes. So that right there is going to cause huge problems.
Absolutely.
And I don't know how hardcore the NFL fans are, but if you can watch football, I mean, people have jobs and lives, and I assume they can't watch football 4 days a week. So there's going to be
a lot of DVR football.
Yeah, a lot of DVR football. I don't think good will come of this. I think that football itself is more. It's not so much. There are people who genuinely have a love of the sport, but then there are people who are just into the social aspect, mm-hmm. and you're going to lose.
And also, people who only watch their team.
Yeah,
you know?
And you're going to lose a great number of those people who are just involved in it for, you know, the social aspect.
What say you, Jet fan?
I'm kind of on the fence about it. I'm going to go ahead and agree with what Mark Cuban said and what you guys have been preaching the past couple minutes. It's a, you know, it's kind of like them putting all their eggs in one basket in a sense, but they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot. It's going to become it's just when it was once and twice a week, it was, as you guys said, it was more of a bigger event. It was something people look forward to. It's kind of going to get oversaturated now. It's going to be like baseball. Baseball's on 25 times a week. And it's not going to be... It's just not going to be like not going to have the effect that it has. It's been having. And that's why it's such a huge thing. So they're kind of getting a little ahead of themselves now.
Now, shooting it back to Luke. You're the biggest football fan out of all of us. Do you agree with Cuban? I don't know why we even talk about him.
Yeah, I mean,
he gets rich just for us saying his name.
Yeah, I know. I guess he has a point. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, so I watch the Giants games. But the thing is that if I'm off on a Sunday and the Giants play at 4, I'm watching the 1 o'clock game. If the Giants play at 8, I'll probably watch the 4 o'clock game. But I'm not going to sit down on a Thursday and a Friday and a Saturday and a Sunday to watch football.
And Monday Night Football.
And Monday Night Football. So what? So now the Giants are going to be on Thursday 1 week, Friday 1 week, Monday Night 1 week, you know, Saturday, Sunday. They're moving all around. Like, it's just, it's the kind of thing where, like Ryan said, it might turn into, like, baseball. I mean, I usually catch one game a week for baseball in its entirety, but it's just, it's all over the place. You know? So, I don't know. And we'll see what happens. Cuban might be right. He is a very good business acumen. So we'll have to keep our eye on that, and we'll update you in 10 years as to whether the NFL is still here or not.
My God.
We'll be here.
We'll be on episode, like, 22.
Yeah.
Moving on to music news.
This Week in Metal? Real quick? I promise I'll make it quick.
Oh
like 30
God.
Seconds.
Make it quick.
Okay. So, unfortunately, we have something very sad to report. Odorous Ungerus from the band Guar, the band that will last 1,000 years, has unfortunately passed away at the age of 50. No foul play is suspected, but we're still waiting an autopsy report. And so now he'll be wearing his giant swinging dildo in the sky. Metallica. You guys aren't familiar with Guar, are you?
No, but we don't care.
Metallica's new track from the Ronnie James Dio tribute album was released. It's a 4-track medley called Ronnie Rising. It's so good. It's on RollingStone.com, so go check it out. And finally, the Steel Panther album was leaked, but we totally didn't download it and totally didn't listen to it, and we totally don't think it's awesome because it hasn't been officially been released yet. So wait till next week when we have the official review of Steel Panther, second by second, solo by solo, track by track, glorious Michael Starr moment after glorious Michael Starr moment. And that's this week in Metal.
Now moving on to real music news.
The Beatles came to America.
The Beatles are going to be on Ed Sullivan. No. So moving on to the news that we were actually planning on talking about, two of our favorite bands kind of just surprised everyone with brand new albums, one of them being the Black Keys, and another was Wolf Mother. So, Christian, have you heard the new single from Black Keys?
I have, Fever, and it is very, very good.
Yes. Now, did you see, for those of you who have not heard, the Black Keys released a trailer saying, you know, we're coming out with a new album, blah, blah, blah. But the funny thing was they didn't release it on their own Twitter or Facebook or anything. They released it through Mike Tyson's Twitter because he actually has like 4 million followers compared to the Black Keys who only have like 600,000, which is...
That's interesting.
It's a very interesting and kind of weird thing, but they're really weird.
If you look at their music videos in the past, if you watch any of them, they're all like they're hysterical, but they're all really weird. So I can see like they made like a when Tighten Up first came out for their album, I think it's Brothers.
Yeah.
Their first like their trailer like for the album was the Tighten Up video, but it was with Frank the Funkasaurus Rex puppet dinosaur. That was the entire thing, and it was just. The dinosaur kind of dancing, and along the bottom was like a scrolling news feed telling you about the album Brothers that was coming out.
It's funny because the Black Keys, they fall into this category. I mentioned this to Lucas. The Black Keys have fallen into this category with like bands like Arctic Monkeys and The Strokes that they sell out tours, yet they're not a household name. You know?
It's true, yeah. It's
like if you go up to like 10 people and say, hey, have you heard the Black Keys new song? They'll be like, who the Black Keys? And then you have to explain it to them.
Who are the Black Keys?
But they have such a huge fan base that they sell out all of these venues and their tickets are extremely expensive and everything.
And it's not even that they sell out all these venues and that only like a niche group of people hear about them. It's like if I played someone Gold on the Ceiling, they're like, oh, I know that song.
Yeah.
Or like they're songs you hear, but they're kind of like Phoenix in 1901. Like
that's
you hear
right.
In the background commercials and stuff like that.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But so I'm very excited for the new album. Was it Turn Blue?
I think so. It's Turn Blue, yes.
Yeah, and I think that's in May, along with Coldplay's album. But
Ghost Stories.
Oh, can't wait. Now,
magic.
Ryan.
Yes.
How excited are you for a new Wolf Mother album?
Well, when you initially told me a few days ago, I was taken aback. It certainly came out of left field. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I thought they dismantled. Is that the right word? Dismembered?
Yeah.
Disbanded.
Dismembered?
I said dismantled. So, like car engine. So,
like
yeah, that was surprising. That certainly made my day. I am very excited. When does the album come out?
Well, here's the cool thing about it. It's out. They didn't say, oh, we have a new album coming out, and here's one song from it. Wolfmother was like, yeah, we did this album, and they just released it.
They Beyonce'd it.
They Beyonce'd it, but... You can't buy it yet, I don't believe. I think it's streaming right now. I think it's available for like pre-order or whatever, but like you can hear it, which is great. You can get
to hear
the whole
album. Yeah, that's interesting because they certainly have not been around the last few years.
How long has their hiatus been? Do you know?
I think it was
3 years.
Yeah, 2 to 3 years,
right?
Yeah,
and they just
almost like a Young the Giant hiatus, which was that was rough to witness.
Very very hard.
How did you live?
I didn't. I was in a coma the whole time.
But you're here.
Oh, I'm not alive right now.
I was in a coma the whole time. Luke, you're a Wolf Mother fan. Playing some...
I just got two microphones shoved in my face.
What about you? I mean, I don't know if you're a huge Black Keys fan, but are you excited for a new Wolf Mother album?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I like Wolf Mother, you know, I don't dislike them. You know, they're a band, like, they're a solid band that I hear a track and I go, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, they're decent musicians and they got good song structure and, you know. So, yeah, I'm excited. I should probably listen to it at some point. I'll probably download it. Well, actually, no, you said you can't download it. It's only streaming, right?
Illegally.
I mean, there's other ways.
Yeah, there's other ways.
Kazaa.
Was it 2001? But yeah.
You ever hear of Napster?
I'm stoked. I actually didn't know. So this is a nice surprise for me.
Oh, nice.
I'll have to go check it out, and I would say I'll let you know next week, but I'll be too busy telling you how amazing Steel Panther is.
So look out for the Black Keys' new album, which is going to be coming out in May, and
along with Coldplay's Ghost Story.
Along with Coldplay's Ghost Stories, apparently we're sponsoring them as well.
Very important.
Yes. And you can check out Wolf Mother's new album, New Crown, on their website as we speak. Before we end another exciting, hilarious, and entertaining episode of News Over Brews, we have to finish with trailer talk. This is a very special week. There's a bunch of good trailers, but it ended up being the second trailer for X-Men Days of Future Past, the long-awaited sequel and comic book adaptation. You know, the story of the same name, the very famous X-Men story. And it's a sequel to Matthew Vaughn's X-Men First Class, along with the first three X-Men films that were produced, pretty much directed by Bryan Singer. So,
not the third one.
I said produced.
Oh,
pretty much directed.
Just checking you.
I know. So, if it's very confusing to even go into the plot of this movie. Pretty much, it's Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Is sent back into the past to avoid this all-out war in the X-Men universe. So the new trailer showing pretty much the entire ensemble of, you know, cast with some great action and almost our first real look at Sentinels, which is
that
something
exciting.
That we've
very
been
exciting.
Wanting to
yes.
see, and it was teased in the third X-Men film when in like the Danger Room where X-Men Wolverine chops the Sentinel's head off.
Yeah.
That was a big tease. But now we're finally getting to see them. We're seeing a lot of new characters.
I think perhaps most important is you see Jennifer Lawrence's role is definitely highlighted now after her recent success with American Hustle and stuff like that. You can see in the trailer
absolutely.
That she has a much more major role in this time around as opposed to the first one.
Mm-hmm. Now, since you guys can't actually see a trailer, I'm talking about our listeners, not you guys. We're going to describe our favorite scenes from the trailer. So, Ryan, we're going to start with you first.
Oh, God.
What was
your favorite
part of the new trailer? Or what was the highlight? What did you say, like, wow, I cannot wait to see this movie?
The entire trailer was fascinating, and I never say that word, but my favorite portions of the trailer were what appeared to be the futuristic parts of, like, kind of, like, you obviously know the past from, like, First Class and everything, that had, like, a certain look. It seems the future has, like, another dark, grim,
dystopian,
like, look, and that seemed very interesting. What's interesting about this franchise is now, it's been so long. Like, it's been such a long-running film.
Since 2000.
Yeah, it's a long time. And, like, all these characters are finally, like, the Sentinels are finally coming out and all that stuff. That is going to be finally interesting. They're kind of getting into, they're kind of righting all the wrongs from the older movies, and now they're kind of getting into the swing of things. I'm kind of getting away from myself. I'm sorry. But, yes, my favorite parts of the trailer were dystopian, futuristic portions of it.
If you look at it, it's definitely in line with the trend for a darker superhero movie that began with the Batman.
Absolutely. And it's going to be really exciting to see how that dystopian future happened, because honestly, we don't know what happened in between to make that future happen, so we're going to have to see. Hopefully they're going to show maybe a montage or something that's going to be like, hey, this is what happened since The Last Stand. You know? Yeah.
Well, do you think they'll pick off exactly from where?
I don't know. They got to write. They got to write a lot of wrongs from The Last Stand. Yeah.
Well, apparently, yes. From what I heard, the script is brilliant. I think they're going to be jumping back and forth. I don't think it's going to be a linear story.
Oh, absolutely not.
But personally, I'm most interested in seeing how they incorporate the X-Men from the former, the earlier.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Trilogy.
Yeah, it's cool because they're bringing back Ellen Page, who was Kitty Pryde, and they're also adding characters like Bishop. You know, fan favorite characters. It would have been cool if they had Cable, but we'll get to that another time.
Lucas, Gambit.
You know, we're completely silencing you now because you're too busy Snapchatting and playing Pokemon.
I'm doing neither of those things.
Just to answer the question, what was your favorite part of the trailer?
Well, I mean, so I'm assuming this is a movie based off a comic book storyline?
Yes.
And I'm assuming you guys have all read that storyline?
No.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I should have
read that. That's good. So, I mean, I'm not the comic book guy. I'm the guy that comes into the movies and gives the non-comic book opinion.
I'm the guy.
So I thought it looked really, really cool. I'm a huge fan of dystopian futures, but I'm more interested in how they get
there.
How
depressing is that?
Well, okay, so I'm like, I'm a politics government guy, but also a sci-fi guy. So like, that's my, I love to see, I don't care about what the future looks like. I'm more interested to see how they got there. Mm-hmm. So if they gloss over it, fine. You know, I understand that for the sake of a story, the movie can't be 4 hours long, but I'd like to at least get a hint as to how it got there.
Peter Jackson would argue with you on that last point.
Well,
I must show you in 12 parts.
So I'm excited for it. I thought it was really cool. I was a huge fan of First Class. I really liked the younger version of X-Men. I thought it was cool. So I'm most excited to see integration of the two timelines. Mm-hmm. If they could do that well and pull that off and not have it be super confusing, then I think it'd be really cool.
I'm really excited for the rise of Magneto to power and to see what made him into the human-hating monster that he was in the earlier trilogy. Mm-hmm. I think his development here is going to be huge. So
you see a lot of it at the end of First Class, but I understand what you're saying. Like, where's the full on?
Well, it's gonna be all, you know, mutant master race from here on out. And I think Michael Fassbender is gonna do a really good job of that because he's him.
That's true.
He's great at character development. And
absolutely.
I think he's definitely gonna contribute a major amount.
I think we've all forgotten the fact that Patrick Stewart is coming back now all of a sudden too. That should be interesting.
Yeah, like I said, they have to rewrite a lot of the wrongs in X-Men The Last Stand, one of which is, yes, he did die, but then at the end credit, you see him, like, come back to form in another body, which is weird. Yeah, it was Brent Ratner. He ruined everything. He also made Wolverine cry, so come on.
So I'm just for those out there that have been keeping track with the Wolverine side of it, too, it might seem a little confusing. It's going to be... It seems it's First Class. It was First Class, then it was Wolverine 2, and then that kind of goes into this one. Then it's going to be, after this, Wolverine Apocalypse, and then after
that...
Not
Wolverine Apocalypse. X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men Apocalypse, and after that's Wolverine 3.
Yeah, the timeline is kind of screwed up.
I'm interested to see how they're going to pick that up from where his journeys in, like, Japan and all that stuff, and how it's going to
be
incorporated
because
here.
They show you an after credit in the Wolverine that, you know, Professor X and Magneto are together, and they're asking him for help. So it's kind of odd because that was the present or the past, and it's in the future that they need help. I don't know. It's very confusing. Hopefully it's explained to us when X-Men Days of Future Past comes out this summer.
Well, I'll be bringing a bottle of alcohol with me just in case.
Just in case. And that's going to wrap it up here for another installment of News Over Brews. I want to thank our guest, Christian, for joining us on this week's episode. As always, I'm Al Manarino. Thanks for listening.